and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you found us online here this morning. It is great to be together as one virtual church family today. We hope and we pray that this time that you've carved out on your busy Sunday morning will fill you and will bless you and renew you for your own journey of faith here in these days together. We give you thanks for rolling with us as we've shifted back to having only online and drive-in church with the big spike of cases here in Des Moines County. Our goal is to love our neighbors as ourselves, and so we want to keep you all and everybody around us safe. And so we will worship only online and in drive-in here today and also next Sunday as well, and hope to have people back inside our sanctuary filling our pews the first part of September. And so we're praying for health and for healing in these certainly uncertain times together. As we begin worship, a few things to note. Pastor Brooke is away on vacation today, and so we're praying for a relaxing time for her and her family. We also invite you, if you're worshiping with us on Facebook, you can check in with us and let us know that you're here with us. Even if you aren't here physically, you can be a part of our virtual church family by checking in and by liking us and telling your friends that you're worshiping with us here this morning. You can also go to our church website and you can click on Back to Church. And if you'd like to fill out our little online connection card, if there are prayer concerns or praises in your life, you can let us know about those here with us online this morning. Don't forget that we have communion every single Sunday morning together, whether we gather around our table here in the sanctuary or our kitchen tables or our easy chairs at home. And so we invite you to have bread and cup, something there in your house so you can have communion as one body of Christ here together. In the midst of our church family, where the work of our church still continues, and so we've been praying about the people who've been affected by the awful storms that passed through the Midwest a couple weeks ago. We began last week collecting a special week of compassion offering, which is our denomination's disaster relief offering. And so if you haven't given a gift yet, you can go to weekofcompassion.org, or you can send a check in to us here at the church, and we will provide that gift to people in need. We heard already that just a couple of days ago from Week of Compassion that they've already begun distributing some of the gifts that they have received to people with food and shelter and water and all kinds of relief to people in these awful times. And so together we can help God's people who are in need in this time. In September, our children's ministry team will be giving away Bibles to third graders. And so if there's a third grader in your life, please reach out to us so we can make sure that we have them on our list as we give the Word of God in Bible form to our young kids as they are growing up in our faith. Along with this, our older kids, our high school and middle school youth group is still planning for the kickoff canoe trip on September the 12th. And so if you're in the 6th or 12th grade, mark that on your calendar here now and watch for updates and for more information to come here in the next few days and weeks. It is great to be one church family together. Will you join us as we sing our opening song? In the stillness and quiet of our sanctuary, in the stillness and quiet of our homes, we pause in the midst of the busyness of life to offer ourselves to God. And so in that spirit, let us pray. O God of every season, we feel your presence that has awoken inside of us here today on this late summer day. We sense the promise of autumn creeping in our lives as the days grow shorter, as time continues to move ever faster. Yet in the midst of all that changes around our world, O God, you remain constant, always with us, ever urging us into your holy presence. And so here and now today, O God, as we've gathered for worship in ways that at first seemed so strange 6 months ago, but have now turned into a new kind of normal, help us to slow our lives down and to draw nearer to your gracious heart as we seek to be a more complete and faithful follower of you. Beloved God, we hear the wonderful words from Matthew's Gospel in which Simon Peter acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he has given the name Peter, the rock on whom the church will be built. We would like to be that kind of rock in our faith that Jesus can count on, to be strong in the face of adversity, to be brave whenever danger is present, compassionate when sorrow and strife prevail. You have called us to be your church, and so we ask for your transforming love that we might be better witnesses of you and for you. Today we name in our hearts before you the people that we love who are dealing with sorrow and illnesses. People who feel abandoned and alone. We lift up our students, faculty, staff, and administration of our schools as we look forward to returning to school in a strange and odd fashion. We pray for those who have to make the difficult decisions and who struggle because every decision is difficult, Nothing is easy these days. We also pray for our own community and all those affected by COVID-19, as we have seen this spike in our town in these past few days. We had hoped and prayed that we might not experience an influx of sickness, but here we are. And so we pray for health and healing. We pray for friends and loved ones and hospitals and care centers. We pray for all those who offer care and comfort. We lift up doctors and nurses and staff of our hospitals and care centers. We name before you those people and situations that need to be filled with hope and joy, who find only sorrow and sadness in these days. Help us, O God, to find hope in our own life and to share that hope, even if it's in the smallest of things. A new home, the birth of a child, celebrations of special occasions with friends socially distant, and even in the hope and joy of a new day. Hear the cries of our hearts, O God, and transform us in your peace. Fill us with your love and give us a sense of your presence, that in you and with you all things are possible, and that you can overcome any trial and tribulation that we face. Through all of this, O God, we offer you our spirit and our presence in the name of Jesus Christ, and we join our voices together now by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. We invite the Spirit of God to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship this morning. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered those disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God for it. Jesus comes here today with a question. Who do you say that I am? Even more than the question, what do others say about me? What have you heard? What's the word on the street? Even more than that, what do you say that I am, Jesus wants to know. We know that Jesus is amazing at posing questions. He was famous for them. In fact, if you read through the whole entire New Testament, over 300 times, Jesus asked his disciples and the women and the religious leaders and anybody who will listen tons of questions. Questions like, Are you able to drink from the same cup that I'm going to drink from? How many loaves and fishes do you have? Are you anxious about your clothes? How many hours to your life can you add by worrying so much? Why do you doubt? Don't you love me? Time after time after time, Jesus poses these questions to his listening audience. Sometimes he answers them. Sometimes he doesn't. Very often he poses one question and then poses a second and a third as follow-up questions, and he leaves the listener, he leaves us to answer. Which is about right, because we know in our own lives that Jesus doesn't push us into faith. He doesn't answer all the hard questions in life for us, but he invites us to struggle. He invites us to seek and to follow and to find love and answers in his presence, with his guidance and love. And so that's how it is today with this question before us. The story says the disciples and Jesus were just about into the district of Caesarea Philippi. Whenever they get close, he wants to know, what are people saying about me? What have you heard? What is the rumor mill saying? They say, well, some people have heard that maybe you're that Old Testament prophet Elijah. You know, that old guy back in the Old Testament, 1st and 2nd Kings, he ascended up into heaven and he was rumored to come back down to earth. Maybe you are the prophet Elijah. Others have said, maybe you're like the new Moses all over again. Maybe you're like a new Jeremiah or Isaiah all over again. Maybe even you're John the Baptist, people said, because you two are a lot alike. He was out preaching. He was out baptizing. He was out leading people and showing them the way. You all have the same kind of quality and attributes. Maybe you are John the Baptist. But then Jesus says, well, what about you all? Who do you say that I am? What do you think about me? Simon Peter, the best of the best of those disciples, the first one called the unofficial chair of the early church discipleship ministry team, steps forward and says with gusto, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are God in the flesh. You are God in practice. You are God in action, he says. Jesus says, you're right. A plus on this test, 100%. This is who I am. This is who Jesus is. It is his ID card. It is his driver's license number. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. Peter gets it right, we see. But the thing about these questions from Jesus, like, do you love me? And why do you doubt? And why are you so anxious? Who do you say that I am? The thing about these great questions from Jesus is that they don't only stand alone in the scriptures, but these questions are posed to us as readers today. It's almost like we too are standing in that crowd with all the women and all the disciples and all the followers. The questions come to us, and so we get to figure out how we are going to answer them. What do we say about who Jesus is today? Who was the Messiah in our life? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Ever stopped to think about how you might answer? And not just give like the stock Sunday school answer, not just kind of pass on what like somebody else has already said, but to give our own answer from our own life of faith. What do we say when Jesus asks us questions? Who do we say that he is? I've been thinking about this all week long. I've been working on my answers, and so I've been trying to think about what I would say if Jesus came to me. Who do you say that I am? And so for all of us today, I would say three things. The first is this. I'd say that Jesus is love. God's whole essence is love. And we know that whenever we love each other, whenever we love God, we experience the presence of Jesus Christ alive in our life. It all comes through love. 1 John 4 put it this way. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We know about God's love because Jesus is God in the flesh. He is moving in our life. It is how we see and experience and learn and hear from God. Whenever we feel his love, whenever we experience his love moving in our life and in our hearts, whenever we put the love of Jesus Christ into practice, we know that Jesus Christ is alive and moving because we sense his love, because that is who he is. Along with this, we know that Jesus is freedom. Jesus means freedom and release from all those things that hold us down and keep us in. Jesus means liberation from all the ways of the past, because in him we have a clean slate and a brand new fresh start. We sing a variation of that old time hymn, Amazing Grace, these days. Chris Tomlin wrote the updated version that we sing. And in this, the chorus says, Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. I have been set free because my God and my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy comes raining upon us, unending love. It's amazing grace. The good news of our faith tells us that in Jesus, we have freedom as new people. That old life that we used to live doesn't have to be anymore. That it is never, ever too late to come to faith. That God welcomes us in no matter who we are, how long we've been away, or what we have done, what we even think about ourselves. Jesus welcomes us in and gives us freedom to live and love in his name. Because that's good news. The third thing I'd say is that for us, Jesus means hope. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I've come to church, whenever I've been in Bible study, whenever I've worshiped from home on my easy chair in our living room, like lots of us do these days, whenever I do that, I feel hope. I have hope that the ways that of the world that they are right now won't be the ways of the world forever. Let me give you a confession. I love to read the news. I love to read our local newspaper and the Des Moines Register. I love to read bits and pieces from newspapers all over the country and all around the world. And in the early days of this awful pandemic, I found that I spent more and more time reading the news, reading the papers than I was ever doing reading the scriptures. So much so that, like everybody else, as we're trying to grapple with this whole mess of the world, it was literally all I could think about, the ways of the world these days. It was all consuming my whole being. And so I decided to flip my mindset. I always read the Bible. As I work on sermons, as I prep for Bible study, as I read for classes. But sometimes my own devotional reading got pushed to the very back and bottom of my to-do list. Because we're simply trying to stay afloat with the ways and the waves that were coming in our lives. And so over the past couple of months, I've been reading the Bible first thing in the morning at home, or first thing when I come to church, before I get sucked into Facebook and sucked into emails, and sucked into all kinds of messages, and sucked into the news. I mean, I'm still reading the news these days because I want to be informed, but I want my mind to be filled with the message that the Lord is my shepherd. And though we may find ourselves in this deep, dark valley here and now, that God won't let us keep us here, God will not let us live here forever, because green pastures, the Bible say, are coming. We need to hear that God will make a way when there seems to be no way, just like he did for those Hebrew people whenever they crossed the Red Sea like it was dry land. Now more than ever, we need to hear the word of hope that it was on the third day when the women went to the tomb expecting Jesus to ever be dead and buried. They went to the tomb and they found the stone rolled away. And those women became the very first preachers, and they went and told the disciples that Christ was risen. He was risen indeed. Now in these hard times, and the world keeps asking us questions about where our allegiance lies, Jesus keeps coming at us with questions of his own about what we believe and who we follow. And we need to know that in Jesus we have freedom and we have hope, because the Bible tells us so, that God is love, and in Christ it is God in the flesh for us. You see, here and now, in these days, Jesus wants to know, what do we say about him? When the question is asked, what do we believe? And what kind of difference has the church, has God, and the Holy Spirit made upon our life? The question comes and we get to answer. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your peace and your presence that fills our life. O God, in these days, when we are stressed and worried and anxious about so many things, we know that your still small voice remains. Your peace and your presence is always there, sustaining us and supporting us, lifting up our burdens. Though we wonder and question about so many things, O God, help us to find our faith in you. Help us to find our faith with you. Because we know that you are our rock and our redeemer, you are the one in which we can build our life. And for that we give you thanks and praise. In Christ. Amen.